Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Whatever, we tackle relationships in every form of fashion, because school
whatever, are relationships. If you have a relationship with your bus driver, meaning that you and him and you and her talk every day and y'all have interactions, that's a relationship. All of that needs some type of assistance and some type of venue to be able to be discussed. And that is what we do every Thursday from 8 to 10 here at GQ Palace Radio. We are excited to do it. We're excited to be here another week. Blessing. So without further ado, you know what your week has been like, which we normally do.
It's been quiet. Last few weeks have been quiet. Actually, I've been catching up of death. And if I sound sleepy or not on air, they'll pick me up from work and I fell asleep. I slept five. Then when I got home, I laid on the couch and fell asleep. And it just woke me up a few minutes ago. So, and you know what's funny? I posted on Facebook maybe a few weeks ago that something to this is I am getting some of the best sleep I've had. I don't know if it's stress or sleep is so restless.
So when you say barefoot and pregnant, folks start putting my forcing women back into the kitchen, walking around like a frock on, kids. So is that what you're talking about? Because, you know, some people have strange mindsets when you say certain things, saying live in the United States.
As their choice. Everyone has what they want and what is comfortable for them. Your full-time stay-at-home mom, hey, go to work. But I do have friends who are full, and I can understand being happy. So, if it's not for you, but for me, I'm kind of feeling this. I might just consider staying home as a full-time mom.
That means I'll be out there selling my booty.
Selling your booty?
Yeah. I guess I'm going to have to go out there and hustle hard. Better move up to the mic.
I am on the mic. I don't understand why they can't hear me.
Like Gina and Martin with
can
that.
Can you hear me, guys?
That squeaky voice.
Squeaky voice? What do you mean, squeaky
oh,
voice?
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
My voice is not squeaky.
Anyway, how's the rest of your week, weirdo?
The rest of my week was fun. Actually, I've been looking forward to... I gotta sit this close to the mic. You know, we gotta do something about this, because this is not comfortable. You forget I have
they don't
a big...
Need to, they don't need to know all that.
I have a big old stomach in front of me.
So...
It's not that big, but anyway, what are you doing? How are you supposed to hear me? You tapping.
I had a child moment.
You are so mischievous. What's wrong with you?
I had a little kid moment.
Anyway, I was looking forward to this weekend because for those of you who've been following us on Facebook, KL and I are going to Delaware this weekend. We're leaving tomorrow morning.
Seaford, Delaware.
After we pick up the keys, the new keys, from our new apartment. After stopping Brooklyn first. But we'll be headed to Seaford, Delaware for the Seafirm African American Festival. Is that what it's called?
Eastern Shore. Eastern Shore African American Festival.
Okay, so we'll be there. There are a lot of things.
5 to 10.
Yeah.
5 to 10 on Friday and 10 to 8 on Saturday, and we will be there until Sunday morning. So come through. We'll have all our books with us. Come through, take some pictures. We're going to have a great time.
Yes, come take pictures with us. We like meeting new people and talking and having a good time. And I can imagine it's going to be some good food out there.
Yes, it's not raining. Funnel Cake Central.
Oh my goodness, I wasn't even thinking about funnel cake, but yes, I'm going to have two, because I'm eating for two.
Man, just give me some fried whiting, some hot sauce, and I'm good. That's my going to be my locale. I guess I'm going to jump in and say how my week has been. I ain't did nothing. I'm a bum.
You've been home all week. Well, no, summer.
No, actually, I've been working very hard behind the scenes. Reconditioning and the reorganization of Braven Publishing has gone on. My book From Gigolo to Jesus has been restructured, and we are in the process of doing a re-release. But actually what we're going to do is we're going to have a release party. Not so much a re-release. We're going to have a release party sometime in 2014. But there's a new From Gigolo to Jesus campaign, and I am going back to the things that I do very well, and that is hustle my work, get back to writing, and I'm not worried so much about other people's work. No disrespect to anybody else. It is time for me to be selfish, because I have tried to help so many other people at a loss. I am not taking any more losses. And part of the changes in the reorganization of Braven Publishing is I am going to focus on my own work. We will continue to offer the services that people need, and I will gladly help people out when they need those services. You pay for them, we'll take care of it, then we're done. Because I really have to sit down and get these stories that are inside my head out, get these books done, and get back to my grind, which in 2007 started with me wanting to write my first book, writing my first book, and everything to fall from there. Well, I'm going back to that. But it's at some point in everyone's life, have to be selfish with the talents you have if you're going to be professionally and personally what God created you to be. That's what I'm doing. And so, no disrespect to anyone, but recently, I have started to pay attention to the people that I have done business with, how they do things, not just with me, but how they do things in general. Also realized that some bad business that I was connected to, I'm closing the doors to that. I got some good news on the copyright infringement case that I was a part of. It looks like that's going to be settled. It looks like we're going to move forward. It looks like they agreed to my terms. I can't complain about anything else. One more door that's going to be closed. I got two other doors that I need to close, and I've had some recent conversations. Those doors are going to be closed also. Now, if I can recover money, that's a blessing, but if not, the doors need to be closed, because at this point, I don't want anything to be connected to me, business, or anything else. That's just not happening. If you don't have vision, if you don't have focus, if you're not driven, please don't contact me. Please don't call. Please don't send me no emails, because I don't want anything dragging. You're going to be like a parachute to me. I'm trying to move forward. I don't need that. So other than that, I've had some great networking conversations on Twitter. Had some great networking phone calls. Shout out to author Julia Press Simmons down in Philly.
Hey, Julia.
Shout out to my man, Damian Faith Walker Brown.
Hey, Faith Walker.
Down in South Carolina. Him and I talk pretty much every day. And shout out to my man, Jovan Roseboro.
Jovan.
Hasn't called me in about 6-7 days after he went on the interview. I had
That's
to find out.
He's working hard.
But I had to find out on Facebook he got the job. But either way.
Congratulations.
He's doing the things that they need to do. So at this point, it's really about me trying to climb this mountain so when I get there, I can hold the door open for other people. I know some people are going to get mad because the access that they're used to will no longer be there. But sometimes you got to save your life first before you can save others. I'm not Superman. I can't save multiple lives. This ain't Iron Man. This ain't a movie. And I can fly and do all these different things. I need to get me straight, having a lovely wife and baby on the way. I definitely have to focus on it. I need to. That's really what it is. So my week has been a real good week. And with all that I said, what's going on in the news?
In the news. Actually, I wanted to bring up some local news. A gentleman in Brooklyn, New York, which is where we're moving to. His name is, what's his name? Wade Groom.
What?
He is a gentleman that works for Lacoste from the store. And he was recently fired for posting a picture of his pay stub on Instagram. And basically, he was making, he was talking about how he was struggling to make ends meet, to take care of his family, his wife, and
insulting the company. He didn't realize he was going to get in trouble for that?
But, you know, thing is, he wasn't insulting the company.
Yes.
No, but he was saying, he said, as a sales, he was one of their top sales, and he actually brought home $1,500 a week, but it wasn't enough to cover taking care of his family and living in New York City.
Hold up. $1,500 a week.
He's making $1,500 a week.
That's $6,000 a month. had to come up out of, you living in Manhattan?
I don't know where he lives. No, he lives in Brooklyn. I just told you, listen. Were you listening?
Man, listen.
Were you listening?
He can live on $6,000. Cut back on some of that caviar, bro.
But you know.
Bologna cheese sandwich with a fried egg.
Honey,
get you through.
You're talking about, think about it. You're talking about after taxes.
Okay.
And if his wife is not working.
Okay, you still got enough.
If you have to pay for child care. Think about it. We're about to have a baby. So think about all the expenses that come into living in New York City.
New York
City is expensive.
Child care, $200 a week?
Child care is not $100 a week.
How much is it?
Oh, my goodness. Where have you been? Child care hasn't been $200 a week since I was in daycare.
Yeah, get some of these aunt and uncles, all these unemployed people around here. You paying more than that? And listen.
Anyway, he wasn't insulting his... It was just he was making a point of how expensive it is to live here in New York. Now, I'm not going to say how much KL and I make combined, but even with us, and we haven't even had a child yet.
Well, we haven't had a child yet together.
Okay, we haven't had a child yet together.
I was a baby making machine years ago.
It is expensive. Now, what I found funny, the company said, not that they felt insulted or that he was insulting them or anything like that. They felt that he had breached their confidentiality.
Exactly, because there's information in the check that don't need to be out. I thought about that as soon as you said it.
No, but listen to this. Listen to what's funny is, and you can look it up, and anyone listening can look it up, the money that you report for tax purposes is public knowledge.
The money, but there's other information on the check. Company information, employee information, his employee ID number's on there. There's other information on it. The address of the company may be on it, where they actually print it, whatever. There's other information on there other than what you make on there. Your rate of deductions, all that stuff. Yeah, that you can do whatever. But if there's company information on the check, you can't play with that in a public forum. That's stupid.
Listen, I think that they went overboard. That's what I think. I think that they're not telling the whole story.
Work for me and post your check out there saying you ain't getting nothing.
They're not telling, easy for anybody to say, but they're not telling the whole story about why they let him go. Maybe they felt, well, dang, maybe we're not paying our employees enough, but we don't want people to know that.
Exactly.
But the idea is stuff like that, like birth records, death records, marriage records, even how much you paid for your house is public knowledge.
But it has nothing. Once you include what I'm paying you, my name is on the check. I may not want my name associated.
That is public knowledge.
Okay.
All about Social Security. All that is public knowledge.
You have to go get
anybody
that.
Anybody can look that information up.
Not the work information.
They can.
They can, but
they
you can't put it out there like that. You don't
Why
know
not?
What
it's mine.
Go ahead and break the computer I bought you and see if we ain't in here fighting.
No, I did not drop my computer. Anyway, heated discussion and I dropped my computer.
Actually threw it on the floor.
I did not.
To point. She's trying to make her point emphatic. I'm like, I'm going to slam the computer down. You're not paid for it. Easy to slam it down when you didn't actually pay money for it.
Anyway, I just feel bad for him that now he went from not making enough to making nothing.
And he can't get unemployment. Got to fight for it.
Yes, he can.
Not necessarily.
Yes, he can.
Not necessarily.
He'll get it. Or, better than unemployment, all those people that's going to feel sorry for him, that's going to send him donations.
Is he your brother?
We know. No, he's not.
Oh, he might get a job. And yes, that was a real racist statement. You can say what you want. The lady on the bus that was getting picked on, the Caucasian lady, she raised almost $1 million, did not have to work again. Other brothers and sisters out there be getting roughed off, get a bucket of chicken and a goodbye, I'm trying to say.
You are so silly.
Okay.
Anyway, guess what? They're coming out with a new Barbie doll.
Oh, Lord.
And you know, I've been reading so many different articles over the past few months about what they're trying to do to revamp Barbie. And I used to collect Barbie dolls when I was a little girl. And I stopped doing it, of course, because I grew out of that stage. But I know adults who collect dolls. My friend Susie actually collects some of the pricier ones. And I read an article that they have a new Barbie that has a designer bag made by Coach.
Gold Digger Barbie.
How did I say Gold Digger Barbie? Barbie has had every job under the sun, except for Streetwalker.
What's an expert? I did Streetwalker bar. That's called Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah, she calls her fans Barbs.
Barbies
and kittens.
No, they're all Barbs.
They're all Barbs? No,
they're all Barbs.
Kids.
They're Barbs, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, Barbie is coming out with a Coach bag.
I'm sorry, I got to sing this song.
And basically, it's a replica of one of their real signature bags, a duffel bag, which is worth $395.
That's right, Nicki Minaj.
And
the bag is worth how much?
The actual bag, the human size bag, is $395. But when you buy Barbie, with the Coach bag, and it comes in its own protective case and everything, it's $95.
A protective case?
Yes.
Why do you need a protective case for a Barbie?
I have no idea.
But listen, the things that people deem important. I'm still trying to figure out how people get like $500,000 for a baseball card.
I don't understand. I don't know. But it's $95 for the doll with her bag. And I doubt.
Wait.
Yeah.
The doll.
With her bag.
It's
$95.
Her Coach bag.
Yes.
Is $100 basically.
Yes. But you know what's funny?
With this Barbie.
You just.
Play with it.
Put it on the stand and look at it.
Because if you play with it, the value goes down like next to nothing.
If you play with it and mess it up and it's no longer in its case, yes, the value goes down.
So you got grown adults. We just talked about a brother who can't feed his family.
But they have a $95 Barbie doll with a designer bag.
You know what? We do GQ Palace Radio for Canada? Yes, we call it from Canada. It might cost us a little bit more. I'm moving to Canada.
Yes. So, for all you Barbie fans, Barbie collectors, Barbie is a Coach bag. And you know what's funny? I'm not into Coach, so I guess you have to...
So, when the Jordan Barbie coming out with? Jordan's on...
Jordan sneakers?
Yeah.
They didn't have that already?
Uh-huh.
Barbie didn't own a pair of Jordans?
I wouldn't know. You asking me? You think I know? I find a Barbie tomorrow, I'm selling it.
Anyway. So...
What else is going on? Carlos Danger is not giving up yet.
He sure hasn't.
Carlos Danger. Anthony Weiner is refusing to drop out of the race of mayor. I don't care that he showed his feet. Yes, I do. I'm not voting for
him. I'm not voting for him either.
I'm not voting for him. You know what?
I'm voting for John Liu.
Who?
John Liu.
No, that guy, he got like a 2% rating.
Does.
Come on, man.
But I feel something.
You would think with all the cats that should be supporting him in this city, he should be doing better than that.
I think he's the most sincere.
Oh, please.
And plus, my friend's father is on his campaign as well. He's running for city.
So, I'm voting for, what's my man? Thompson?
Thompson?
You know what? He looks shady to me, too.
I
hear him talk, and I keep thinking he about the deal of spades game, man. Every time I hear my man Bill Thompson talk, I think he about to go, yo, joker, deuce of diamond, deuce of spades. I swear he about to start a spades game up, man. There's just something about his hustle. It just, I don't know, in his voice it sounds hustle-ish.
He reminds you of an uncle working a grill at the barbecue. He
exactly.
Just,
one of them smooth uncles that you really wouldn't lend dollars to.
Yes.
Because you know you ain't getting it back. Come on,
anyway,
man.
My last bit of news. I wanted to talk about a story in California. There was...
They're having fires or something right now.
Are they?
I got to check it out. Someone mentioned that on one of the other... I got to look.
Okay. Well, there was a nonprofit organization in California that helps women who have been in sexually abused or sexually assault cases. And basically, the woman who manages the program, she received a call in the middle of the night that her location had been broken into. So she went down to the office and wires had been cut, laptops and computers stolen, things destroyed. She was very upset. She wasn't sure how they were going to recover. The police, they were doing the investigation and, of course, trying to figure out how the place got broken into, whether it was an inside job or whatever the circumstances were. It took them a couple of hours. They finished up the investigation for the night. She went home. 2 hours later, the police called her. They said they found some suspicious activity, so they needed her to come back. So she was on her way back thinking the worst, like, what could have happened now? And, you know, with nonprofit organizations, you can get things. Everything comes from donations. And it's really difficult.
Well, you get government funds, but you get a bunch
of... It's very minimal. And it's hard to recover from stuff like... And when she got to the location again, the police officers were in the front of the building, and it was a shopping cart stuffing it. And she figured that it was probably more stuff stolen, but they were trying to steal. In actuality, the robbers brought the stuff back. They had a change of heart. So everything they took, they brought back and they left in front of the building with a note apologizing and saying...
I still want the note dusted for Prince Charles. Just for the fact I had to get out of my bed and go,
right.
And you brought it back. Here for you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, God bless you. Ups on them, book them, Dano.
Well, the note said that they apologized.
But they didn't know who they was robbing?
Right, exactly.
Really?
It said, we didn't know the work that you do here. Please keep up the good work, and God bless.
They got home, was picking up the loot. Oh, we robbed that spot. Yeah, let's take it back.
So she was very moved to tears, and she, you know, she said,
that was an inside job.
And basically... He said, well, but they still broke into the place and robbed the place. They would still face penalty, but hopefully it could be a little bit lenient since they did. So,
let me tell you something.
Still
you break into my place of, bring it all back and bring somebody else's stuff with you. And you going to jail. Now, listen, the change of heart is beautiful. But it's easy to have a change of heart when you ain't facing jail time. You want to show me that you really having a change of heart? Wait for the police to come and admit. Then you might get that leniency. Because if they catch you after, I'm going to be like, you know what? We ain't giving them nothing because we had to catch them. Meaning someone had to pay money for folks to catch you. You really have a change of heart? Stand there, be a man or woman about it. Police show up. Yes, it was me. I was stupid. Give you a reason. Your time. I ain't trying to hear that. Bring it back and leave it. You're still getting locked up in my. I don't want to hear that. I mean, I'm real.
Chances.
They can get that once they get out of jail. They can get another shot at work and everything else once they get out of jail. What? So, hold on. Saying because you. And I say this in school all the time to kids. People go in the bank and steal the money. Run out the bank. Have a change of heart. Throw the money back inside with a note. Sorry that I stole it. Change the emotional. Didn't change what happened. It just means you brought back the money. Really want to show somebody you changed? You really want to show somebody that you're serious, that you realize it was wrong? Hold the weight. They're trying to eat their cake. Well, they started to eat their cake, realized they didn't want to give the cake back, and they don't. No. Still, you go to jail. You really want to own up to it? Own up to it. Don't say, oh, I realized what you were. So that means if it was somebody else, they could have kept their stuff? Man, please.
Anyway, I think it's... You realize it's something wrong.
Man, throw them clowns in jail. Every one of them. Put them in jail, bread and water. That's it. I feel it. Come on, you going to break into somebody's hardworking person emotionally, and then you're going to bring it back. Man, I hope they find him on video and put him in. That's something.
Well, he'll forgive this.
I ain't saying, listen, you can listen. It's not.
You're listening to Reality and Relationships with KL. We're going to head to a break for two songs, and we'll be back.
But, yeah, we'll be back.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back.
Girl, my queen, ooh. Everybody, don't believe, don't listen to them. We're back. Hopefully, can you hear us? We need to know if you can hear us. We've changed up some things here. How are we coming through now?
I guess some of them don't let us know if they can hear us.
Okay. So, this week, what's the subject this week?
The subject this week is...
Your notebook moment.
Yes. If you haven't seen the movie, you definitely must. Because something I think will be a classic in years ago.
It's the top. It's in the top 20 and in some top 10 of all time love movies.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad I enjoyed it. And we're, you know, funny, we watch movies, sometimes we can tell what's happening from the beginning. And this was one of those movies. But also we do, understood what the storyline was. They don't actually give it away, but just to try to figure out what's going on. And I don't want to give it away because if you haven't seen it, go see it. But the idea is, even though we kind of knew what the story was about, we still enjoyed it. We still got to see it.
It's the telling of the story.
Yeah.
The way it starts and the way it ends, it's actually the story that's squeezed in between that draws you in and actually is going to connect you from the beginning to the end, because it actually has flashbacks, and as the story is being told in the flashback format, you then catapult it back to current and back to the flashback. And it's a very well written story. As an author, I have to say that it's a very well written story, but it's also a story that talks about incredible love. That's really what we're getting at tonight. Your notebook moment.
The premise of the story is a woman who falls in love as a teenager with a guy who basically wants her to know who she is.
And he was her first.
Well,
that's part of it. That plays into it also. Yeah, I mean, she can just give it away.
What?
It wasn't that many years. No, when they was in that little house. Yes. Yes, they did. They did. I don't know who you were talking about. They started them.
Okay.
Man, a virgin wants to start. Yes, they did. She was naked. She had a whole story about the movie.
But she didn't have any phone for it. But...
I'm going back to watch the end of the night. I have an outstanding
movie.
Actually, I'm replaying the movie as we talk. So I'm trying to actually figure out. It was in the house, just in the house. She got dressed, she came home. And it's like, where were you at? Just whatever.
Right.
Okay. But then
but
later on.
The idea is.
So that after they were on the boat in the rain. And that's after she came back.
Yeah,
well, because she already helped the other two. So he wasn't the first.
He had.
Yeah, whatever.
So, basically, some of the teenager, it started to say, he was shocked at this. And.
Would you be willing to leave it all behind achieve what it could be, or see what it could have been, but didn't happen next. And that's actually part of it that you have to consider.
Now,
Thank you. something that belongs to me and you.
You can never say that GQ Palace Radio is not live. Live radio. This is what we do right in the middle of the show. We got to fix the mic, do what we got to do. So we are back, and we were talking about our notebook moments. And what we were talking about was if you're with someone now and a person from your past resurfaces, and we're not just talking about anyone. We're talking about that person who was everything to you at that time, but now you have a whole different life. Would you be willing to leave that life to reclaim what you thought you had in the past? And even if it seems like that, would you be willing to take that chance with everything that you would have to lose or give up right now? That's really the conversation.
Now, we know that if you're not in a good relationship, of course, the first thing you're going to say is you're going to remember all the good times that you had in your past relationship.
Hold that thought. I knew somebody would call in. You know, you know there's people out there that are going to have notebook moments.
We have a call already?
Sha Love. Uh-oh, Sha.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Sha Love, you on the line, baby?
Now, you know I had to call in.
What's up, dog?
You know I had to call, right? Like, really? You know, you should have known out of everybody I was going to call tonight, I was going to call.
We had your name circled when we act. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, you had to know. No, I'm just kidding. How are y'all, Mr. and Mrs. Danger?
We are good. I mean, listen, you know what's funny is, I'm not even going to go on that tirade. I'm going to wait till about 9:30, 9:45, because I'm so tired of Negroes tirade, but I'm going to save that because I'm not going to mess up the vibe of the show. So I'm going to wait towards the end and just explain. I'm tired of Negroes using me, but we're going to talk about that later. But no, we're doing good.
Yeah, I feel you.
But, this is very important because we had this conversation the other night, and we were just talking about, different people from our past. And Tiff was explaining to me what role I play in her life. And I was saying to her, I only have one other person in my life that I had ever thought about what would I do if they ever resurfaced because of how things ended. And you'd have to get my book From Gigolo to Jesus to realize how important that person was to me.
I already got it.
But the thing was, I said to Tiff, the reason why it wouldn't be as difficult for me to say to her, I can't even consider that, is because Tiff is replaced the things that I had in her back then that I have with her now. But we got to talking, and would people actually consider leaving, say, their marriage, their home, their relationship, their children, whatever, to be with that person from their past? And how do you actually come about making a decision like that if presented with it?
Like, here's the thing, and I've just realized this over the past couple of months, is that I really strongly believe in soulmates, and sometimes I do believe that people marry or whatever, people that God did not ordain them to marry, but they did it anyway for whatever reason. And yes, I could be talking from personal experience, but I've also watched a lot of my family members go through relationships where you're fighting, you're arguing, you're just there. You're not even really having fun in your relationship. You're just there. And I've seen that, and I've lived it. So if you're in a relationship like that, and then all of a sudden someone from your past that maybe y'all was too young or something small went awry, and they can't come back, and it's a strong chemistry, it depends on the situation. You might just leave your wife, husband, whatever, for that situation because you're not happy in the one that you're in now, and or because you just know. I don't know how to say this, but you just know when it's your soulmate.
If it's negative, I got you. But what if it's not negative?
What if you're negative?
If it's negative, it's an easy decision. See, we're not talking about if it's negative, because if it's negative, you jump at the fence as fast as possible and run off with the person you love. That's an easy decision. We're talking about if you're love, you're in love with the person. You believe that you're in love with the person you're with now. Everything is good. Y'all got everything that y'all want. Y'all are happy, or you believe yourself to be happy.
Exactly.
And then this person resurfaces, and this person creates feelings in you that you thought were long since gone.
Mm.
How do you come home and tell your significant other that you now want to have this notebook moment? Because if anybody saw the notebook, she was set to marry another dude. Mm-hmm. Mother was happy, father was happy, the dude was happy. She was set to marry this next guy, and when she was traveling back home, ran across her soulmate, and decided that she was going to see what that was all about again, got into it, and then eventually decided that she was going to leave the marriage to join this guy. And the question is, now he was wealthy, she cared about him, sophisticated, they had a wonderful relationship. The question is, would you be willing to leave what seems like happiness? Yes. Would you be willing to leave what seems like happiness and security for...
to take a chance on something that you don't know?
Yeah,
because it didn't work in the past, but how do you know it's going to work now? Would you throw everything you worked for away for a chance?
And see,
we're
okay.
We're not talking about no rolling the sack either.
It depends on, like I said, honestly, I would, but it would depend on why we broke up in the first place. Like, don't revisit the past if it's y'all broke up on some arguing, fighting, the similar situation that you're in now, then that's stupid. But if you broke up over something that was, like, really not as serious as you can see that the relationship that you're in now, I can see myself doing that or see someone doing that. And the way you would tell your person, to be honest with you, if you're open, if you have communication in your relationship, there should be nothing that you can't come tell me, even if it's that. I've actually had a boyfriend come tell me that before, that he was in love with his high school sweetheart. And even though we had an okay thing going, we were fine, actually. There was nothing wrong with our relationship as far as I knew, but it was something that he had to explore with her. He just had to go. Now, unfortunately, that didn't work out too well for him, but he did leave me. It didn't work out for him because not on his end. It was actually her end. She was a little superficial just like him, and she went to, like, a baller type of guy, but that's a whole other story. But the point is, she lost a lot of weight. She did, like, this surgery thing or whatever. She left him for some other dude. But the point is, when he left me, he didn't come to me at first and tell me. He cheated first. And then when I told him it's okay, just tell me what's the real deal, he opened up to me and he said, listen, I love you. You know, we're cool. We have a great relationship. But it's like he just knew that there was something there that he had to explore because he felt that was his soulmate. And to this day, he actually still feels that's his soulmate because he's with somebody else right now, but he really feels like no matter what, his heart always belongs to that particular person. Now, she probably doesn't see that in that way as of yet. She may come back, like you said, 20 years from now and be like, wow, that was my soulmate. But sometimes we don't always recognize it because, like I said, I don't know. I think that if you come home and you realize that, you should be open and honest with your significant other and be like, listen, I'm talking to this person again. They came back. I don't know why I feel this way. Because honestly, I really feel like if you two have a strong bond, there should be nobody or nothing that can really take you away from that bond. There's nothing that anyone could say or do to you or say that would make you leave your husband or your wife if that person wasn't for you.
Now, that's something I'm glad you said, because that's something that Kayla and I talked about, that if there was a situation where you felt the notion, the urge, the desire to pursue another relationship, then be honest with your partner. There's
exactly.
No reason why I think that you should be sneaking around. It's funny because...
And actually, she was in the movie.
She was sneaking around.
At first. But then he showed up at the house. And
right.
He was like, okay,
right.
I get it. But the mother, I guess, called. Didn't the mother call him?
Actually, the mother showed up at the house.
Yeah.
And then she said, you know, you can't do this.
No, but the mother gave her blessing. But she was like, all right, I done did everything I could to keep y'all apart.
Right.
So, because that's when she gave her the letters, all the
stack of letters that he had wrote.
He wrote for
when
years.
She first moved away. Yeah. So the mother finally gave in, was like, you know what, whatever, I got you. Go ahead.
But the idea is, you know, and it's funny because I think about relationships I've been in, and there's only one other relationship that was long-term. It was on again and off again long-term. And it's so funny because that particular person shared with me that although they're currently married, they believe I was the one for them, that I was their
soulmate. And that can be so true. I mean, I don't know. I don't know you and KL, but I'm not in the house. I love you, KL. I'm sorry. But I think that is so weird because, like, you and KL, more than likely, the way y'all act, y'all are soulmates. But on his, like, other guys, and he probably feels, you know, like you said, maybe different.
Right, and what's funny is I don't feel that way.
Oh, no, my brother. You got to get your own.
I knew he was going to say something like that. I knew it.
And the funny thing is, I remember the good times that we had. Those feelings are not the same. And those feelings are nothing compared to how I feel now about KL. So,
first of all, I told Tiff when we first started talking, I'm going to be the greatest man in her life.
Wow.
That's what I'm for. I told her that. Y'all mess around. See, brothers, get your game up. I told her I'm going to be the greatest man in her life. And even before that, I told a partner when we was in college, you see that poor chick over there? Yo, you clean her up. Yo, she can be pretty good. Tiff was a bum in college.
Oh, that's
I said, yo, that's my little diamond in the rough. I said, someday, I'm going to have her. I said that before I even got to know who she was. Now, she was homely looking, but, you know, I was able to overlook that.
Tim, don't worry. I was too. I had my jerseys on, my hair not done. I had my fitted on, all that. Don't make them feel bad.
Tim looked homeless, though. There's a difference.
I was looking homeless as a homeowner. Get it right.
First of all, the college look, people just throw stuff on. It's okay.
But you know what? See, that's the problem with men. They go for the girls that got the jewelry on. They have they got the Coach bag for $395.
Yep. And somewhere, that same girl is twerking in the club right now.
Yes. And they go for that type of girl. And then that's the girl that they don't want to end up with. They wind up making babies with and then start running from.
That's my whole jiggle of the Jesus. My first wife, I tell folks all the time, all I got out of 8 years was heartache. I don't even remember a good year of the 8. We
That's
had
bad.
No good years. I don't remember. I was married to that woman for 8 years, and I don't remember a good year.
And you stayed married for 8 years without having a good year.
Well, I was cheating the whole time, so there's a difference.
Oh, okay.
I was in a marriage. I tell folks all the time, I wasn't married. I was in a marriage, but I definitely wasn't married because I cheated the night before. I cheated the night after, well, the following week. I cheated the whole 8 years. So for me, I can't even count that because there was nothing ever monogamous or solid between the two of us on my end. The unfortunate thing is I made her believe that there was, and I now have to live with that. I've apologized numerous times, and so part of her pain is what I created, and there's nothing I can do. One of the things that I try to explain to folks and what I do now is that if you really don't feel that way, don't do the extended things. Don't let it get to a marriage. Don't let it get to where y'all buy a home together. Don't let it get to where, hell, if you can, don't let children be born when you don't really have those feelings because you will be tied to that person forever.
Forever. Oh, my God.
And a lot of people
don't
think about it. And this is what I'm getting at with the notebook moment is that if you have all these things in place, home, business, kids, whatever, and that person comes back from your past, I don't care how much you believe that y'all love each other, there still has to be a sensible part of this whole thing, meaning check your age. Check what you have invested. The movies are tremendous. In the movies, everything is wonderful. But in real life, you can't walk away from a relationship that's considered okay simply because you want to take a flyer on something that happened 20 years, 10 years, 15 years ago because people change, situations change. The lovemaking that might have went on when you were in college is not even what you're putting down now, which might have been at the forefront, which caused those euphoric feelings. Either way, be very careful when you get caught up in the feelings of reminiscing because as I was telling Tiff, I once was with a young lady in college. We, you know, she fell for me. We were having a wonderful time at it. we fell apart. Actually, she broke it off because her father was a racist, and she was from the Middle East, and her father didn't like black people. And she was like, listen, if my father finds out I'm dating you, he's going to disown me like he did my sister, and you and I are not in a relationship where I'm ready to come live with you. So she, whatever. We ran into each other about 3 years, 4 years later, tried to get back together, and everything was askew. Everything, the physicality part wasn't the same. Everything, it was gone. And we never really hooked up after that again and actually lost contact with each other. But there was a time when she would have swore to you that I was somebody extremely important and what we had experienced was real then, but you couldn't reclaim that 3 years later. And I think people have to be careful because everybody wants that notebook moment. You want to be able to have that person that you love dearly, that you feel completes you, and y'all ride off into the sunset. But, you know, like in Django, you might have to go through a whole lot of foolishness before you actually get to that part.
Didn't you say actually too? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry, my fault.
Go ahead, baby doll.
Oh, didn't you say too, though, she was sneaking off of the dude first before she even, so you kind of did what she did where she snuck off with the person first, but the difference is, her love was the love, the bond, or whatever that had with the ex was still there, whereas with yours it was not. So I don't think you should just leave on a whim. But she started messing with the dude first.
What happened was when she left to go to college, she left the little country town that they were in. She left to go to college, and in college is when she met this dude, and they had a whirlwind romance. Everything was perfect. She was a sophisticate because she was from money. And everything like that. And he fit the profile. He was everything that her family wanted in a son-in-law. And she was happy. Everything was good. It's when she came back home that she came across. And this dude, when she first left, wrote her tons of letters that she never got. The mom intercepted all of them and basically did a Color Purple thing, didn't let her know. And so when she got home, the reason why she started sneaking is when she seen him, they started talking. And then from talking, they went fishing, and then it led to whatever. And then it was like, but he was okay with the idea of you got to go back home to that life because he had pretty much said, okay, it's whatever. It was her that said, wow, she realized what she had missed. And then it was, let me see how I could try to recreate this. The thing is, while she was doing that, the fiancé was like, well, hey, what's going on? You said you was going down there to find yourself. What's up? And then he showed up because he knew where she was.
Yeah.
And then basically they made the decision when talking to each other that it's not going to work, and then the two of them kind of connected to each other. So it's just something to it, and I bring it to the table because now that's the movie. But we see folks all the time when someone else from the past shows up, and you get starstruck, you start to stare over the gate, and you go, ooh, is the grass really greener? Well, I always say, be careful, because it might be
all I need to share my story, then. I would like to share my story, if you don't mind, then.
This is the type of show to do that.
Okay, then I would like to share my story. I can't believe that you actually have this open for me to share. And I'm going to share it real quick. I'm going
to
make it as brief as possible.
There's no gun to your head. No.
I want to. I mean, I'm not going to give away too much because I'm writing it in book. But I'm being like you now. I ain't going to give away too much because I want to write the book. But I will say that it's related to what you said because basically, long story short, I was in a marriage. And I was on paper, we seemed like the perfect couple on paper. But when we went home at night or went home, there was a lot of issues that people didn't know that I had with my husband. So, you know, it was a lot. I hung in there. You try to work with the person, you try to do things, you know, whatever case may be. And I started losing myself as a person. I don't know if you saw my picture I posted on Facebook of me on the Newlywed Show and me now. Actually, as of today, by the way, guys, I lost 19 pounds. So I'm happy about that. But anyway,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Was it weight loss the right way, or is that from stress?
Oh no! Stress actually makes me gain weight. To be honest with you, so
All right, cool.
Stress was actually what kept the weight on me. I'm glad you brought that up because I had been trying to lose weight, hard body, for about 2 years. Once I gained about 30 pounds in my relationship. So for the past 2 years, I have been trying so hard, I mean hard, to get it off. But everyone's telling me that you were so stressed, you weren't happy, this and the third. Even my aunt was like, you look sick, you don't look like yourself. And I looked at myself on a Newlywed Show and I was like, that is not me. Who is that? And so from that moment on, I really made an effort to, you know, get myself together, and I still couldn't drop a pound. Well, I started talking to an ex who was a good friend, but an ex who also was in a marriage, and he was like, this is not you. I've known you since 98. This is not you. Like, what's going on? Like, so we started talking. I would tell him, and he wanted to, like, help me reach my goal. That's honestly how it started. Like, talking, encouraging, like, you're down on yourself. This is not you. You're a strong, independent woman. You sound like someone who's, you know, just giving up on life and stuff like that. So whatever, I started getting myself together, started doing things to pick myself up, and my husband started seeing me do that because I was honest about it, and he did not like that I was kind of going out, trying to do stuff for myself and whatever. So he saw me bettering myself and was kind of like, well, I don't like that you're doing this by yourself all the time. And I'm like, well, I asked you to do it with me for years. You didn't help me. So whatever, moving along, I moved out of the house from him, and the sicknesses that I thought I was having, the dizziness and all these other issues I was having, began to lift. And so recently, as of me starting to try to not be so stressed anymore, I think like April, May is when I started actually losing weight, because I was kind of feeling more free. I was around this person a lot more, who was my ex, but he was encouraging. He was fun. We worked out together as much as I can, because I have a back problem. I can't work out that much, but a little bit. He encouraged me to eat the stuff that I wanted to eat, and just all around encouragement, all around being by my side through me crying, through me upset, through everything. And I could say he loved me before any movies, before anything I did like that. When I had my jersey on, my hair messed up, my hat backwards, all of that, he loved me then. And the same way he looked at me then was the same way he looked at me now. He was like, I can't be with my wife. He's like, I'm in love with you. Like, he didn't realize that he was just in the marriage, like you said, to just be there. He didn't cheat, but he was just there. Like, he felt no emotional.
Now everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. Did
what?
He leave her?
Yes,
everybody
he
wants
did.
To know. Did he
yes,
leave
he did.
Her?
Yes, he did.
So y'all pulled off a notebook.
You know what's crazy? I did not realize that until you said that today on your show.
Y'all pulled
I'm gonna
off
be
a
honest.
Notebook moment.
Wow. Can I be honest with you? I want to be so honest with you.
This is why
I never.
Married. She's Jill Scott right now.
Wait, and I told friend. Him that. We saw that movie friend. The other day. And
this
I said, you're
me.
Officer Troy. I said, you're Officer
so you
Troy.
Got Officer Troy.
I got Officer literally, wait, but you know, I'm not trying to blow nobody up, but you know what the guy's name in the movie was, right, KL? So how funny is that? You know what the guy name of the movie was that she left.
I just watched that the other day. This man. Oh, this was a feeling with me.
So, wait. But.
I was broke. Actually, I love Jill Scott. And that's my movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But but it was funny because we watched the movie again the other day. We actually watched part two, but it was funny because of her husband's name, and you and I, insider, I guess. You know her husband's name in the movie, and I was like,
geez.
And he was cracking up. He was like, oh my God. But like, honestly, you know how Officer Troy and her was working out? I actually put on Facebook a little while, like about a month ago, I feel like I'm in a really good Tyler Perry movie because my ex
a
is Puerto
Tyler
Rican.
Perry movie.
A better, yeah, I gotta say better. I'm sorry, Tyler Perry. But anyway, because he's Puerto Rican, that's the funny part. And you know,
okay.
Tyler Perry always gotta have the light skinned brother that come rescue the girl. So like, I mean, I don't know, it's stupid, but either way, the point I'm trying to make is, I've known him since '98. We never had a fight or nothing like that. He ran from me, to be honest with you. What happened was he was just scared of. He kept feeling something special with me, and he didn't like that feeling that, oh my God, I'm in love with her. So we broke up twice in the past 16 years because of that. No fights, no arguments, no nothing. We just felt.
So now let's look at that's the movie side of it. Now let's tear this down just a little bit. How is things on his side with now his ex-wife, and how things on your side with now your ex-husband?
Well, as of Wednesday, the ex-husband. Anyway, it is... him and
I,
his...
Listen, I'm just saying, I'm going because I'm asking questions that people want to, because this is the reality. The reason why I asked you the question is not just to put you on the spot, is that this is the other side of, like, movies that are never shown. Like, of course,
no,
you know,
mind. Yes.
They can run off, but, like, what's the, is it working? Is it not working? Are y'all cordial, not cordial?
Well, with me and my ex-husband?
Yeah, well, I mean, on both. On your side.
Well, his wife was an older woman, about 15 years older than him. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, they've been married for 8 years, and she fell out of love with him 3 years ago. So, they basically are on cool terms. Like, it's just like, yeah, I don't do this anymore. So, they're fine. They're actually like, okay, whatever. I'm good. I'm moving on. On my side, unfortunately, I think my ex-husband had a really bad ego problem that when this person came along to better me, and I begged him, I said, listen, you're still my husband, so we can still make this work. Please, let's go to counseling, whatever. And I told him out about this today. He found it easier to, instead of working on our relationship, go be with another girl. So,
wow, so his form of therapy was another chick.
Yeah, which I believe he cheated on me with her anyway. But basically, yeah, and he actually has not, he does not call me. He changed his number. He is not the person I married. I don't even know who this guy is. Like, he's been running my name through the mud with my ex-friends, but he's been talking bad about me, and everyone who knows me knows that I'm a nice person, I'm a sweet person. I give you anything. If I have a dollar, you can have 50 cents of it. Like, everybody knows me to be that way, and he knows that too, but I guess his pride was hurt because this person came along and did something that he couldn't do. And at first, me and the person was just friends, and he's a respectful guy, so he was like, listen, get yourself together with your husband, but if he don't get it together, just let him know another person might come get you. And
man's loss is another man's treasure.
And
I'm going to
be honest, I told him that, and let me tell you real quick, I'm going to be honest with you. I have never, every time that we've lost connection and got back together, we always had a special bond that neither one of us can understand. And we don't, it's not like we have, like me and my husband was perfect on paper. Me and this person don't look perfect on paper. You'd be like, wait, what? But like, we have a special bond that it's like no 10 years apart could not change that love that we have for each other, to the point where he had to leave his wife and I had to leave my husband. And we are, can I say that, I'm sorry to be all TV show about it, but I am the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. Like, every...
Oh, there go my scene. I'm so happy. Y'all don't understand.
No,
I thought the Lord didn't love me no more. And then he sent me this man. This man, he loves me. He works out with me. Oh,
yeah, that's
what I'm saying. I was like, she'll have me crying. I was in love with Officer Troy by the time she was done.
Exactly. Like, that's really what it is. And it is so funny that in my marriage, the things I feel now, I was looking for those things that I feel now that I wanted to feel in my marriage. And it's not like, oh, this has only been a month going on. This has been a pretty much good while now at this point. And I feel grateful, and I told my newly boyfriend, I'm going to call him, he understands it too. Like, I think God tried to put us together so many times, but he ran and I was looking for something else, and we just, whatever. But now it's like, he done did what he did, I done did what I did, and now it's like, no, this is real. We can't run from this anymore.
Now that you put it, the fact that you have put it out in public, you put it out there, you know the Lord said, you put it out there in the air. Now you have the pressure. It's all right. Listen, if it is what it is.
The
one thing you have to understand, like anything else, is that once you get through the polish of the newness, like once the newness of y'all two being with each other, once that polish has dissipated a little, the job now is working together to make sure that it continues to shine and that you don't let it get to a point, that both of you start to feel in a negative way, because if it is that strong, well, then you have the anchor that a lot of other people wish they had. The question now is, what do you do with that anchor, and how do you use that when times actually get rough. You're only as strong as your first disagreement. So right now there has been none or that I know of.
No. Yes, it has. Yes, it has, actually.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's funny because we had a disagreement, and because I'm realizing now, even I'm sure what you and Tiff, you know, no one's perfect, not one person. And I'm happy that we had a disagreement a couple times, actually, not like I did in my past, but it's because he's a stubborn person in certain ways. Like, he's such a man that he won't let me do certain things for him. And that frustrates me because I'm a giver. And that's the type of arguments we have. Like, dude, I want to help you. No, I got it. Like, you know what I mean? So we had a really
hard
discussion.
Tiff is like that.
Really?
Tiff is like that.
Yeah, yeah, like.
Hard-headed, something awful. So a lot of times I just let her fall flat on her face. And then I go, you see, if you had left,
exactly.
If you had listened to your husband, you'd have been all right. And then she kind of conceives and goes, you're right. I should listen to her.
Know what's
she's
so
like
funny.
That with ordering food, too. Like, I can't let Tiff order food because every time she order food, my order gets jammed up. She'll say, I'm sorry. And I go, stop saying I'm sorry. Fix it, because it happens all the time. And she goes, mm-hmm. I don't do it on purpose. And I go, what do you mean you ain't doing it on purpose when it happens all the time? I don't care what I order. I could order like two things and Tiff will get it wrong.
It's not always my fault. Sometimes it's the people who are on the other end, because Kale has heard me say that we want something a certain way, and it will still come a different way. It's not always my fault.
I believe her. But, like, some people just get so stuck in, like, doing it the way they've been doing it because he came from a hard background where he raised himself. So somebody else telling him what to do or how to do something, he's just like, no, I got this. But you see you doing it wrong. You see it's wrong 1,000 times. I'm trying to tell you. And he, you know, we have that friction, but it's not all the time because, like you said you just let her fall on her face and then she kind of says, okay, you got it. I've never had that with nobody before where we can have an argument and then be like, you know what, you was right, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Usually the person's just so combative and, you know, it gets out of hand, but we see the rough road that we could have ahead, but the other part of it is so much stronger than that. I mean, Kay, I've never, it's like, I'm a fantasy type person, I am a little bit, and people say all the time, oh, you want a TV show romance, and that's not real. Yeah, it can be. It depending on who you with, because I'm going to be honest, like, I really have never, ever felt the way I've always dreamed of this in relationships. I've always, how you call that? You know how somebody say that you're in love with the idea of being in love? That's what I think it was. Like, with all my relationships, I was in love with the idea of being in love. Like, my last relationship was all about fun in the spotlight, but that was it. When it came to responsibility and taking care of home and stuff like that, it just was not there. Whereas, in this case, all the elements are there. You still got issues because nobody's perfect, but it's not nearly as bad as the issues I had in any relationship in the past. So, like, I guess I did have a notebook moment, and I'm glad you had this show to open that up, because I'm not ashamed of my... some Christians in churches may be like, well, you're wrong because you shouldn't do divorce, but...
See, I wasn't going there. I already heard it already. Well, here's my thing with that. And listen, the Lord forgives all action. So together, once y'all get divorced, like I said, a lot of people are going to have a lot of negative things. And yes, if that marriage was consummated in church and all that, there's going to be some issues. But the thing is, you have to remember is the Lord forgives all actions. Y'all honestly and openly have to come to the Lord, ask for forgiveness of the things that you've done, and then y'all go from there together. One of the things that Tiff and I realized is that I had asked the Lord to forgive me for how I treated my first wife. I asked her to forgive me. Now, of course, she refused, but that's on her. Because I asked the Lord to forgive me about it, and Tiff and I have come face to face with our past and have asked for forgiveness of the things that we've done in the past, and you go forward. At the end of the day, the Lord's going to have his say-so one way or the other. If he had designed you two to be together, you will start to see that together you're going to collectively be able to open up doors that you would not have been able to open up by yourself. I tell folks all the time, there are things that I have become that I would not have been able to on my own if Tiff was not in my life and vice versa. And so this is one of the things that you will start to see if the person that you're with was designed for you, is because what's going to happen is you two are going to actually become greater than you could have together, than you could have ever been separately. But you have to work at it, and the first thing that you have to do is you have to clean up the past by together coming in front of the Lord, kneeling and getting down in front of the Lord and saying, listen, Lord, forgive us for what we've done. Forgive us for the things that we've put into motion. And then go from there to try to live your life accordingly. And I'm not going to turn this into church, but to my church folks that are listening, y'all understand exactly what it is that all of us fall short in the eyes of the Lord, except the thing that we have is the ability to ask for forgiveness and that you will be granted. And then you go from there, but you have to at least fix that. And so any secrets, put them on the table, get rid of them, and go from there and see what happens. So that's my take on that anyway.
Well, that's good. But, darling, I am
grateful that you called in to now out yourself. We didn't try to out you, but I'm glad that you... No, it's all right because, you know...
I want people to learn from, like, honestly, I want people to... I put myself out there sometimes because I want to inspire as well as, you know, have someone relate to me like I would relate to someone else. And there are a lot of young women, there's a lot of young women in bad relationships, and we just stay there because we feel like we can't get nobody else. And they feel like, oh, well, this is all I'm going to get, or I might as well just stay here because I've been here 6 years or 8 years or whatever. I was with this person 6 years. And until I realized how bad I was looking and my whole career wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, I put my career on the back burner, all this stuff. And a lot of women will still live like that until, God forbid, they have the day they die. And I want to show people and say, like, listen, if you're not happy, even if you are married, it's a mistake you made, leave. Like, if you're unhappy, don't cheat, don't do none of that. Just go be happy because there is happiness out there. Just like you and Tiff show the world that, you know, there is happiness.
Did you just say you're happy?
I'm so happy.
Here you go again. Why, KL? Why?
You know it is? Cause I'm sorry. Let me tell you why I keep harping on that part. I didn't watch the whole movie. I turned it on. The movie was almost over. But I always get a kick at the end because my man is clowning her. Like, da-da-da. But then the new chick is killing him. She's like, she don't cook. She don't clean. But she knows how to shop. And his boys is giving her the business. And then my man show up, and she is looking good in that dress. And then the crazy part is when she goes to the bathroom, she said, I always thought about what I would say to you when I met you, if I beat you up.
I'm having that moment right now because I have to go do that on Wednesday, KL. Wednesday, I promise everything I love. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I haven't seen him in like 3 months. I don't know what I'm going to... I've imagined it, but I don't know.
Watch that movie. Just say what you do is you say hello. How you doing? And you leave it alone, and then you walk away. And if you ain't got to be in the person's presence for too long.
Well, no, we have to go to court. So, yeah, we got to go to court.
No, y'all not going to say too much in court. I'm going to tell you right now because he'll sit somewhere where he'll sit off to a distance where he can see you, or he'll sit where you can see. And then when they call both your names, You'll let the bailiff know you're here. They'll take your names, and then you sit down. And then when they come back out, they'll call you both in, and they'll tell you everything that you need to say, and you go from there. He's not going to have a whole lot to say because, one, he's in public. Two, they got folks walking around with guns. So ain't like he's going to get real sideways or whatever. All you really do when that happens is just simply hello and goodbye. When I had to go to court to face my ex, it was interesting because Tiff was there with me, and you could see the venom was spewing through her skin. And you could just tell, like, she was making herself uncomfortable, the anger that she was displaying.
Wow.
And it was like, why? I've let you go so much longer. That was actually 06 the first time. And then when she caught the punch in the face in 06, when the judge was like, no, you're not going to get any more money. I don't know why you came here. Here we were 6 years later, last year, when she did the same thing, figured that she was going to make an attempt to get some more money. And my thing was trying to explain to her, is we have a child about to turn 21. You're not going to get any more money. She didn't want to hear that because she had been doing Google searches and she thought Braven Publishing was making more money than I actually said. And I told her, I'm not, I have no reason to lie to you. Well, she went to court again, and this time, same thing. But this time when we went to court the second time, Tiff and I was on the line together, and she was like maybe three people ahead of us, and the hello was so filled of salt that if a dagger could have flew out of her mouth, and stab me, she would have, because you could see that she was making herself uncomfortable. And I looked at her and I felt bad for her, because I was saying to myself, why are you getting yourself so upset over something that should be over? But then I caught myself and said, you know what, if that's what she wants to do, then do you.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy. I'm beyond happy. And I'm not going to alter my happiness because you're in a place that you feel comfortable with. It's been 13 years to date. May made 13 years. But in those 13 years, she still has issues. Even when she found out that we were with child, she had a negative comment to my son. And it was like, okay. But
13 years, wow, isn't it?
13 years. And but here's the thing, I've actually been with Tiffany longer than I had been with her. So there really is no reason for her to hold on to anything, because at this point,
she don't got a man.
She was the first of it done. But the one thing I have learned from my own past experience, and one of the things that I am attempting to do with my book From Gigolo to Jesus, with my own life, is to put my life on display for folks to read, to discuss, and then to find ways to heal. Because there's a lot of other women who are in a bitter place. There are a lot of other men who are in a bitter place, who are just like the brother in that Tyler Perry movie, who everything is slick until you see her again and she's doing well. Now all of a sudden you got issues with yourself because you realize you gave away something good. Well, if you couldn't realize it when she was with you, well, unfortunately, you got a hole left if she's doing better without you. And actually, that's the thing, and I think that's what burns her up more than anything else, is that since leaving her, I got my master's degree, I started a business, I've written 2 books, I've been a part of 4 others, I'm happily married, and now we're expecting a child. So actually, my life has taken off light years from where I was. She even mentioned years ago, she said, I guess I was the albatross around your neck. No, you're giving yourself too much credit.
Oh, shoot.
The thing stopping me from being what I could be, not you. See, I'm not going to give anyone credit for something they don't deserve, even in a negative sense. She wanted to take credit because she would only use that to say, well, see, I'm the only reason. No, it has nothing to do with you. My mother and grandma didn't raise no weak dude. The only thing was I made myself weak by allowing her to take a position in my life where I would kind of just nod my head instead of just standing up and saying enough is enough. And that's what I did when it was time for me to leave.
But
for me, it's a little different because I am the cause. And actually, I'm going to tell anybody listening, it's not just to sell the book, but I do sell books. There is a chapter in From Gigolo to Jesus. And it talks about the abortions and miscarriages that I have been a part of. And I am not proud of it. I am not excited by it. But there's a section in that chapter that talks about the treatment that I put my ex-wife through. And if I had it to do all over again, I would have never allowed her to go through that experience with me acting the way that I did. I was so devoid of feelings that I say that every time I go out and speak publicly, I know why she hates me, and I understand if she never forgives me. I hope that that's not the case. I hope that she actually gets to a point where she can forgive me. But the damage that I've done cuts so deep that I understand her pain. There's nothing I can do to remove it. I pray for her every night, because when I look back at the way that I used to be, I thank God for removing me from that. But I was a very vicious and nasty dude. And you have to read it for yourself to be able to understand what I'm talking about, because a lot of people that know me now can't believe that that dude actually existed. And the people who knew me then can't believe that I actually turned out to be this guy here. So either way, part of what we try to do with this show, part of what I do with the books, part of what I do with everything, is that once you make a mistake, if you own it and let it go, now you build from there. So if you and this gentleman are happy, and y'all made the moves that y'all made, now it's time to dig in,
mm-hmm.
build on it the best way you can, and pray that the Lord will forgive you for everything that you've done, and go from there.
And that's what I tried. And it's funny that you said that she was with the ex-wife and she was angry, because I like you said, you did really bad stuff to her. My ex-husband has done stuff to me that nobody would imagine, even now, that he has done to me. And I was holding on to that. Even now, I have a little bit. I'm working through it because I don't want to be bitter, because I want my heart to be opened up to more love. Because at first, this ex wasn't even going to have a chance with me because I was so bitter towards him. I mean, well, my husband. So it was mm-hmm. like I don't think I could ever love again, because if this person I married before the altar can do me this dirty, I can't. Like, and I was hating on him. I was looking at everything on Facebook with him and the new girl, and I was doing a lot of stuff that was like, why? I'm spending my life doing that when I had a career before him. I had a life before him. I need to get it together. Like, I can't imagine your ex-wife spending 15 years now worrying about what. I know she. I understand you said she's bitter. She's upset because you did her dirty. But I'm on the other side of that. I've been done really bad to the point where it had me in the hospital. So. I'm hoping other women don't turn into that, because you have to pick yourself up somehow and move on with your life just like you're happy. Because, like, I didn't want him to go on and be happy, and I'm sitting here all depressed and sick-looking and not doing my career. She got to get it together as well. Like, no. Like, I'm going to do me without a man, with a man. You still got to live your life because you only got one of them to live. So you might as well stop worrying about what you and Tiff doing. I'm turning into Jerry Springer all of a sudden. What? No, I mean Steve Wilco. Sorry, but anyway, yeah. Like, I could be that bitter person though. But I started to be, because I was so hateful. Like, how could you do this to me? I was so hateful towards him. He's the only person I think in my life that I really went there with the H word. I don't like saying hate, but he did me so dirty. I'm like, yo, I really hate this dude. Like, I'm crying every day. But he's still living and breathing and having fun while I'm crying hateful of him. And I don't want to have hate in my heart for anybody. So I have learned to forgive him. I've forgiven him. I'm not trying to be cool with him like that right now, but I've forgiven him, and I can say hi and all of that. But, yeah, we can never be that. Yeah, we can never be that. All I can do is pray for you and forgive.
Don't say never, because the thing is, that's actually the place that you want to get to. When you can get to, like where Tiff and I are at, we can joke about the cheating that I did when we were dating. People bug out and they go, how can you just joke? It don't bother you when he go? No, because we were able to work ourselves past that. And being able to joke about the cheating then, being able to be around some of the chicks that I was actually humping in the areas that we've been in, and actually they're more uncomfortable than we are. Some of the chicks that's around us, because we travel in familiar circles, they panic, like. And I'm like, yeah, she know. You told her? Yeah, she know everything. Yeah, and then they start feeling shame. What you shamed about? It's over with. So a lot of it is you want to get to that point that he has no, causes no reaction to you. And actually, that's a good place to be. When you get to that point.
And in the future, I would like to be friends.
Say, but yeah, when you get to
I
that point.
I
want to
be there.
Like, down on your luck, need $20? I don't need your damn $20. All right, well, I just thought you might need it. All right. You know.
I want to, honestly, KO, I really want to get there, and I pray I do. I'm on the road to it. But,
I got you.
And I do want to be, I actually ultimately would love to be like a friend in the future, because I think he needs a friend like me. But anyway.
No, listen, listen, when you marry somebody, there's something there. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be enough to rekindle everything to where y'all really get to where y'all really cool, super cool with each other. But there's definitely enough there that can be refurbished to where y'all at least are cordial, to where it doesn't have to be a negative thing. I look at my mom. My mom and my sister's father, the female that he moved in with when he left my mom, or might even been cheating with, I don't know what was going on back then. Either way, they're cool now to such a degree that she's now watching my sister's children. Her and my mother are best friends. He's long been passed away, and I think the two of them kind of joke and laugh like it's almost like a Color Purple thing. We had them each other's way, but now he's gone. So there was no reason to have any animosity. They're super cool. Now, how many women could actually do that? Be cool with the person to such a degree that they're in the house watching the daughter of the man. It's the one thing I've learned in urban environments, especially folks of color, is that we hold on to a lot of foolishness that does not need to be, and we have to heal from that. And that's actually why I'm glad that you did come out and on the show, and hopefully anybody listening, they'll take it and run with it, and understand that we all make decisions. And if we've had those notebook moments and passed on them, or we've had those notebook moments and actually jumped on them, hopefully they turned out positive. My biggest thing, like anything, is to make sure that folks are thinking their decisions through and understand the outcomes have consequences, positive and negative. And if you make this move, make it because you believe it's what is going to grant you happiness. Don't make it because you just, I don't like this person, so I'm not going to work at it, so I'm going to try to get, you can't put relationships on like shoes. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you, darling. I want to say thank you for coming on and sharing that.
Thank you.
Thing.
I know I
as always.
A whole lot, my bad.
Right, listen, not a problem.
I had to get in this show. I'm sorry, but
I appreciate
talking
it.
Communication is the best.
Thank you so much, darling. Listen, make sure
thank
you tell
you.
All your friends. Come on. You know,
I will. I'm going to catch y'all next week. God willing.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you. Thank you.
Later.
All right. She's here. She
is.
First of all, let's start with that honking the mic. That honking that you heard in the background, that was her. So you understand why I'm actually had to take the microphone because she's back there sneezing and everything. It's not a good picture. It's not looking sexy over here right now. And one last time.
I just want y'all to feel what I feel. This man.
Yeah, I said, I gotta, you know, I'm going to watch that tonight. I got to watch that. I'm such a Jill Scott fan. Actually, let me tell y'all something. I told Tiff that if there's only one woman on this planet, if she show up, that I might have to be like, baby, look, you're going to have to let me just one time. You had this with Jill Scott, just one time, because I am so infatuated with Jill Scott. Actually, I just dig her, but actually, I'm not really digging the new look, and I'm not digging the weight loss. I dug her, and Why Do I Get Married? I like the thick Jill Scott. This new Jill Scott look funny. She's got square shoulders. I'm not really feeling that. I want her to put on like another 20, 25 pounds. Not sure why all these women keep losing weight, man. We ain't going to have no full-figured women left. We want some of these big women back. That's just me. But anyway. But no, I'm glad Sha called in today. And yes, Tip is sitting back here. She's just relaxing because she's actually glad that I'm taking the mic. She's tired. Don't let her fool you. She likes to talk junk. She got her feet up and she's like, go ahead, baby. She's actually waving me on. Go ahead. I'm tired. Now, I said earlier, I had something to say about just Negroes. Now, I wanted to use the other word, but I want to be like my man for the Philadelphia Eagles and be real disrespectful. And he said, nigga, he said the what's name word, but Philip Brad, what was his name? Bradley, what was his name? Anyway, in the last week or two, I have started to realize, and this is a complete tangent, so rock with me on this, is that we as folks of color, and I'm speaking strictly to folks of color, I'm going to be real racial right now, is that brothers and sisters, we got to stop doing so-so business with each other. We got to stop so-so business all the way around. Stop your mediocre business. We got to stop this. If we want any culture to take us serious, if we want people to take folks of color serious, we have to first start to get ourselves together in how we treat each other. Stop cutting corners. Stop trying to squeeze an extra dollar out even though you've already been paid. Stop acting as if the person's time and money that you're dealing with is not important, because that's sad. I've had at least the last 2 weeks a couple different individuals act as if my time and my money is not important. Well, at that point, what are you saying about me? And then you're shocked when I choose not to do business with you. You're shocked when I walk away. You're shocked when I say, no, I'm not going to say yes to you. And even if it means leaving money on the table, and I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. We went to go pay for an event that we do yearly. I was going to pay for the table. The woman told me to be there at 3:30 Sunday afternoon. Now, I bowl, and I bowl for money. I was going to a tournament, so I told Ted, we'll get there at 3:30, pay for the table, get over to the tournament. I'll be able to get in at 4:30 to bowl. I get there at 3:30, and a guy basically looks at me like I got six heads, and he's like, look, the woman that told you to be here is not here. I don't even know why she told you that. Real rude and disrespectful. So I'm basically like, well, y'all not going to try to accommodate me in no way? He's like, look, we can't do nothing. Come back at 5. Well, I can understand that he can't do anything, but it's the way he spoke to me, as if I'm not coming here trying to put money in their pocket. Yeah, he just can. Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah, think about it. He just went on and did what he had to do. Okay. Now, we're standing there trying to contemplate what we should do for an hour and a half, and they're talking amongst themselves. I don't know why she keep telling people, come over here at 3:30. This don't make no sense. One of the other chicks is like, well, you know, she do what she want to do. But that's another bad thing. Don't share the inner workings of your business or your bad business out loud so the folks who was thinking about doing business with you can hear that. So we go back to the car. Now, the whole reason why I'm dealing with this is setting up for the event, we always make money at the event. So sitting in the truck, I'm thinking, all right, what's an hour and a half? I'll just push it back. I'll wait. Let me call the woman to find out what's going on. I call her back, and she's like, yes. First of all, I like the way she answered the phone. And I'm like, well, we're here. Oh, listen, they're saying, and all this foolishness. Then she's like, well, I was trying to reach you. I ain't have your number because they're not letting nobody come over till 5. And so I said, well, what can we do? Is there another day that we can set something up? I don't know. You got to ask the dude that runs it because they're not telling me nothing. Now, first of all, here's the problem I have. If you tell people 3:30, you need to be there or have made arrangements for somebody else to be there with the people that you spoke to, especially if you know you didn't get a chance to speak to everyone to tell them that things had changed. Even that means you have to augment what you do. The second thing is don't tell the customer, which I am, that they need to go talk to somebody else. When you're working with that person, you're supposed to say, excuse me, sir, let me find out and I'll call you back. There was no effort made as if I was unimportant. Well, if I'm unimportant, I'm not giving you my money. And if that means I got to leave that money on the table, I'm not taking less than service because I'm trying to make a dollar. I'm not doing that anymore. I am not dealing with any Negroes who can't understand what business actually is. We have to stop this. So I'm on strike. If you can't get yourself together, if you can't cook my burger the way I want it when I'm paying you, I'm taking my money back. You don't serve me the way I ask to be served, I'm not paying. I'm walking out. I don't care what you get upset about. Because this has to stop. I don't run my business that way. I'm not doing business with nobody who does business that way. So this little soliloquy about bad business is just the opinions of KL Belvin, and actually my wife is co-signing, so she in the back there nodding her head, but it is what it is. So, honey, some dude out there that would come back. You leave me?
No, not at all. There is no man on this earth that can walk through that door and have me walk away from standpoint.
I told you, Adam, you leave me. You, the dog, and myself. I ain't saying nothing else. You already know.
You are a mess. You are a mess. But no, I mean, like I said, those type of feelings, they're different. I've been in relationships. I've enjoyed those relationships. But they're nothing compared to what I have now. And I wouldn't throw away what I have now for anything. So
what are your thoughts on what you heard Shaw talk about today?
Well, Shaw, you know, she was in a situation where I think she definitely needed to get out of the relationship with her husband because that just, it wasn't conducive to her growth and her peace of mind, her sanity. So she definitely needs to get out of that. I'm just glad that she found someone that she could be happy with. You know, because sometimes, and as she mentioned, sometimes we take the baggage from the old relationship and bring it into the new relationship, and we're so hurt by what happened to us, we don't allow ourselves to open up to the new relationships and allow ourselves to be loved again, or, you know, even feel love again, because we're afraid. We put up a guard.
We just saw that last year.
Yeah.
Where a person who was in a good relationship couldn't let the pain from the previous relationship go, but she basically sabotaged.
Yes. Yes.
The relationship that she is in with the man who really dug her.
Yes.
And instead of giving in to the idea that this man is going out his way to show her a fantastic way of life in his world, she couldn't let go. And they broke up, went back to the dude who originally did the dirt.
And the crazy thing is, he wanted to be with her so much that he reached out to KL and I to have like an intervention with the two of them to sit down and talk and just, you know, hash whatever was going on with them out in order to make the relationship work. And she chose not to. And, you know, the funny thing is to go back to the person that hurt you in the past. And it's funny that, you know, how people say, you know, the devil that you're with, you don't know the devil you're going to get. So basically she went back to the devil that she knew, afraid to deal with who she was dealing with. And, you know, she's a nice person. The guy that Kale and I know, he's a nice person. And I wish, that's what they were, a cute couple together. I wish that they could have worked it out. But it is what it is.
sometimes the fear, pain causes strange decisions. With the future, past pain. Often the things that have hurt us in the past can hinder us so badly with moving forward. Is that you're sitting there saying to somebody, this person is great for you. You can't see it. And they'll actually say to you, yes, I know, but what if? Yes, I know, but the last dude. And you keep pointing out to some people that he is not that or she is not that. Why do you keep holding on to it? And then you have to realize that pain causes such stagnation. It causes you to not want to move forward because you don't want to face it again. It's like the hot pot thing. You touch a hot pot and get burnt. You're not going to touch it again. So now anything that even remotely reminds you of the pot, you pull your hands back. Sometimes you jumped off the ledge once. You got to be brave enough to do it again, or you actually never get to that moment. But a notebook moment is tough.
It is. It is. And I say more power to the people that do it, because when you throw all your cards in, not knowing with the situation, I mean, maybe all your cards, I mean all your chips. When you throw all your chips in, not knowing what the other person is holding, that's big. So, honey.
Yes, no.
If you had the opportunity for a notebook moment.
With who?
We know with who. We're not going to say any names.
We can't say a name?
No.
All right, we're not going to say a name.
Would you take that chance?
That's not even a question. Of course I would. I mean, I got to see. I got to listen.
You
got to
see?
I got to know. No, I'll be back. Like Jay-Z said, I was coming up now. Nah, actually, it would be difficult simply because of who she was in my life. But looking at what I'd be giving up to the unknown, nah, that's not a precipice I'm stepping into. I would tell her thank you for even letting me know that I meant that to her, but no. Because at this point, I can't see it getting better. So why would I leave what I have, which is great, to go back to someone that I now would have to possibly work to get right back to where I'm at? To me, that's double tracking. That makes no sense. And the risk outweighs the reward. There's no, if me and you was okay, if me and you was, and I would say, well, this person, we was, nah, me and you were there. So I love you too much to think about trying to start it over with somebody to get right back here. And then with the history that we have, I don't know if that person could hold up to that. And I don't know. No. I'm not taking that chance. What? You should have known when you asked me that question. You ain't know.
You should know the right thing to say, don't you?
Yes. That's why I'm an author.
Yeah.
Yes. Smooth like that. I just want y'all to feel what I feel about this man. Now you, I'm saying, wait till you watch it. You gotta watch it.
I stayed back in Colorado.
First of all, there's black people in Colorado. But no, it would be cool. I would ask you, could I go out to dinner with her? I would ask you, could I go out to lunch with her? I'd ask you, could I see her to talk? And then definitely from there, I would say, look, real talk, we could be friends. It's nice to know and rekindle, because I would like to know what she's been up to since 1986. 1987, was it? Yeah, 1987. I'd like to know what's been going on since 1987. I know that she's done some great things performance-wise, and she used to sing for Profile Records. You know, I'll let y'all dig through the crates and try to figure out who she is. And she's actually the background voice to one of the greatest hip-hop singles of all time that is played. Trust me, if I told you, you'd know who it is anyway. But I would like to know, like, what her singing career was like when she stopped singing and things like that. And so it would just be more filling in the history. But to go backwards and start all over, no. That's forever going to be that moment in my life where I walked away from, where I gave up on someone that I thought I tremendously loved. But I had to. Because if I didn't, you and I would never be together. And to know that her grandmother passed
on your 10th birthday. That actually shows you how old I am.
We don't need to have dollars, though. Anyway.
But no, I would just maybe just sit down and just really do some reminiscing. Because, like I said, this the last time we had a conversation, the last time her and I had a conversation was 1987, and that was me admitting that I think the best thing she should do is be with the next dude. And she actually asked me, was I quitting? I was giving up after everything that we had been through. She said, you're giving up. I was like, yeah. But I was giving up because my mother had said to me a couple days before, you need to stop playing because she's putting so much on the line for you. She's standing up against her family. She's doing everything because of love for you. And you're not being serious. You need to let her go. And I remember when I did, she looked at me like she couldn't believe that I was quitting. And I remember when we walked to the door, the last thing she said to me, the very last thing was, you know, I would have given you the world. And I said, I know. And she turned and she walked away. That was the last conversation we had. The last time I had any type of conversation with that situation was the following week. Saw them coming off the block. They lived actually not too far from where we live at now. And they were coming around the corner of the car. I pulled up, parked, went into the liquor store. He pulled up behind me. And I heard the bell to the liquor store ring, and I turned off the side of my shoulder, and it was him. And he walked up to me and was like, you know, he said my name. And I said, you know what my name is. And so he said, he said, are you Keith? And I was like, yes, you know what my name is. Don't act like you don't know who I am. And he said, I was balled up ready to fight. I thought he was ready to get it on the liquor store. But actually, he shook my hand and said, I want to thank you. I said, thank you. He said, yes. He told me that you stepped out of the way so we could be together, and I thank you for it. And I looked at him like, are you crazy? I didn't do it for you. I did it for her. And I said, if I took her from you once, I'll take her from you again, so you better take good care of her. Well, to the record, they're still married. So maybe he was the right person, but I just had the strong feelings. Like, if you'd have told me then, I'd have said we were soulmates. But From Gigolo to Jesus, read the chapter on sex versus love. And it explains exactly who she is, what she was to me, and you will see that I was more than smitten. So, but no, I would just want to sit down and catch up, and that's it. But to leave you, nah, it's till death do we part. You, me, and the dog, that's how we going. So, you try to leave me, think you better watch what's love got to do with it, or turn it off about halfway through the movie. We got a couple more minutes. What's the puppy doing?
The puppy is in my face again. I don't know if you guys watch my Facebook post on Making Marriage Cool Again, but I've been posting about our dog Storm, who everyone says realizes that with hormonal changes and pheromones that we are with child, because he seems to pay a lot of attention to me. He gets in my face, he licks me, sometimes he just stares at me from across the room. And when I go to bed, he sits at the door and watches me sleep. And it's so eerie. He jumps on my lap. And right now, he's actually sitting on the table in front of KL and I, wanting attention. So we find it funny because we have no idea how he's going to react to the baby coming in March.
If you want to keep on with the baby updates of new baby Belvin, go to Facebook, Making Marriage Cool Again, and you will be able to keep up with the updates of sonograms and pictures and everything else that goes along with the journey of having a child. So we definitely ask you to come and join in this with us. And also, I am, like I said, going back to my author roots and focusing on writing. So please come by my new page. You have my new page, which is From Gigolo to Jesus on Facebook, so you can come by the page. We only have a minute or two. All right, give me we got a call, but we got to end the show. So, caller, is it Faith Walker on?
Sure.
Brother Faith Walker,
yeah,
what's
Faith
going
Walker,
on,
man. Just wanted to shout you out, amen. I'm just in and out, amen. Just was just caught a little small piece of the show, but I guess it was meant for me to catch what I needed to catch, amen. And just wanted to shout y'all out, amen, and say it again on air. Congratulations on y'all, on your family, the blessing. You know, you got the baby on the way, amen. So, and definitely congratulations on the re-release of Gigolo to Jesus. Awesome book. I read it myself. Encourage everybody to go out there and get it and support that.
Thank you, brother. You got 30 more seconds. Anything you want to say to the people? You got 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Check out Crossroad Temple, 9 o'clock Sunday. You know, we play the, definitely the best in gospel music and gospel lyricism. I don't like to say gospel hip-hop, gospel lyricism. And very best, amen. We got the Apostles coming up on this week, Sunday, which is a quartet group, amen, out of Florida. So definitely look out for that on Sunday.
Same GQ Pilot Blog Talk Radio, GQ, same website, same phone
station.
Number, everything, same station, everything. Sunday night, what's the time Sunday night, brother?
It is 9 o'clock. We're going to have church this Sunday, amen. So definitely catch, you know,
got
Sister Lavina Politis, 7, you got come right over to the temple, and we're going to get it on. We're going to have church.
Thank you so much, brother, for jumping in. We'll definitely talk in a little bit. That's Brother Faith Walker. Make sure you tune in his show on Sunday night. But definitely support the Brother Death, man. I love that Brother Death, man, because we definitely support each other and build each other. Well, baby, we got 30 seconds left. I'm simply going to say there's nobody else that I can see in my life but you. So when it's over, Only thing I want is to be with the Lord at that point. So that is it. Anything you want to say to close this out?
I love you too, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Good night and God bless.
I just want y'all to say.
Good night, guys.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, and all the lovers around the world, I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you. But tonight, I just want to express the way I feel.
Oh, baby, funny how things have changed in my life now. Whether near or far, I want to be where. Place.